Thank you. With this broadcast, we're starting a new series, and we're entitling this series as The Arab States in Prophecy. With so much news coming out of the Middle East in these last few years, a great deal of attention has been given to the area of prophetic scriptures, but by and large, most of our studies in the realm of Bible prophecy as it relates to the Middle East has been, of course, primarily concerned with the Arab state, with the state of Israel, and virtually little is said about the Arab states and their future insofar as the scriptures are concerned. It is clear from the scriptures that the land, commonly referred to as Palestine, was given to Jewish people by divine right, and it is in every sense of the term Jewish property and does belong to Israel. The scriptures invalidate any Arab claim to the land, and whatever future the Bible deals with concerning the Arab peoples does not include the land of Israel itself. So while a great deal of time has been spent on Israel in prophecy, by and large, little has been said concerning the Arab states in prophecy, and so I thought it would be a good idea to do a series on the Arab states in prophecy. I want to cover this in three specific areas. First of all, we'll discuss the root of the conflict. How did the problem between Jews and Arabs originate? Secondly, we'll then deal with what has happened since the conflict began. We shall see the prophets largely blame the Arab states for their perpetual hatred towards the Jews. Our second area then will deal with this issue of the perpetual hatred of the Arabs towards Israel. And then thirdly, in light of the root of the conflict and in light of the perpetual hatred of the Arab states against the Jews, what then is the future of the Arab states? So those are three areas we'll be dealing with this area, and let's begin with the first part of our study, which deals with the root of the conflict. In dealing with the root of the conflict, we are concerned with two key individuals of the Old Testament. The first one is Ishmael, and the second one is Esau. We shall deal with Ishmael first and then deal with Esau secondly, in keeping with the order that these two men appear historically and chronologically. Now, the origin of the Arab peoples as a people is to be found in the very same chapter we have the origin of the Jews. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, we have the origin of the Jewish people, in that God promises to Abraham one specific nation will come forth from him, and that one nation is the Jewish nation. But this very same chapter, at the same time, contains the beginnings of the Arab peoples. And the origin of the Arab peoples is to be found in the same chapter, Genesis 12, Roman verses 10 through 20. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, we read these words. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a beautiful woman to look upon. And it will come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they will say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and that my soul may live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very beautiful. And the princes of Pharaoh saw her, and praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. And he dealt well with Abram for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And Jehovah plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister, so that I took her to be my wife? Now therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh gave men charge concerning him, and they brought him on the way, and his wife, and all that he had. Now, early in chapter 12, Abraham was told to go into the land that God would show him, and when he entered this land, the land of Canaan, God also promised that someday he and his descendants will own this land. However, Abraham's faith at this point had not matured to the extent that he knew or could know that he could trust God under any and all circumstances. And so, as a result of his immature faith at this point, there is a lapse of faith, so that when a terrible famine hits the land of Canaan, rather than staying in the land and trusting God to provide for him, Abraham goes down to the land of Egypt. And Abraham was well aware of a quirk in Egyptian morality. On one hand, the Egyptians were rather down on adultery. The concept of taking another man's wife was a negative aspect in Egyptian morals. And yet, we do know that Pharaoh and other nobility of the Egyptians would often send out servants to look for beautiful women and then report the existence of any beautiful woman that they seen to their masters or to their lords. And if it happened that the beautiful woman that a lord or a pharaoh would desire happened to be married, since the Egyptians were down on adultery, the solution would be to murder their husband. That would make the wife a widow, and then there is no problem with Egyptian morals of taking the wife into some Egyptian harem. And Abraham, being aware of this quirk in Egyptian morality, enters into a covenant of a lie with his wife, and she is to pass herself off purely as his sister. Now that's both a half-truth and a half-lie. We do know that Sarah was a half-sister to Abraham, but he's trying to hide the fact that she is also his wife. As a result of this half-truth and half-lie, Sarah is eventually taken away from Abraham and put into the harem of the Pharaoh of Egypt. Now, eventually, God was to intervene. Before the intervention comes, however, in the case of a woman, if the father is no longer living, the brother is looked upon as the official guardian. Since Abraham and Sarah's father died previously to this, Pharaoh naturally treats Abraham, her brother, as the legal guardian, and so he gives to Abraham the bride price. And in verse 16, we read these words, "And he dealt well with Abram for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels." Now, notice that in verse 16, Pharaoh, in giving the bride price to Abram, gave Abram a number of gifts, among which were several maid servants in Egypt. In that one word, maid servants, we have the origin of the Arab peoples, because among these maid servants would be one in particular, and that was Hagar. Remember, the Bible clearly tells us later that Hagar was an Egyptian. And where would Abraham have Egyptian maid servants? Only in this verse, Genesis chapter 12, verse 16, do we find this out. Well, before there can be any fornication between Pharaoh and Sarah, God does intervene and Sarah is rescued out of the situation. And because of the way Abraham had lied to Pharaoh, and because Pharaoh now realizes that Abraham is a special person in the eyes of God, he does not dare touch his hand against Abram, but simply expels Abram out of the country. And in expelling him, Pharaoh does not take away what he gave to Abram by way of a bride price. And so Abraham got very wealthy from this situation, or more wealthy from this situation, and he is expelled out of Egypt. In a unique circumstance, then, the Arab states had their beginning at about the same time the Jews did. Because earlier in chapter 12, Abraham came out of his native country and was promised that a new nation will be formed from him, the nation of Israel. Now later in this very same chapter, because of Abraham's lapse of faith, he received into his household an Egyptian handmaid named Hagar. If I was to call Genesis chapter 12 verses 10 through 20 by any special title, I would call it as Abraham's folly. So, at this point, what we have learned is that Abraham received several maidservants, but one in particular, an Egyptian maidservant by the name of Hagar. And she, along with Abraham, will father and mother the Arab states, at least the majority of the Arab states as we have them today. And we shall see how all that comes about in our study tomorrow. But as we conclude, may I remind you that the manuscript for this series is available by simply writing to us at REL Ministries, P.O. Box 13266, San Antonio, Texas, 78213. Simply ask for the manuscript on the Arab States in Prophecy. We shall be happy to supply this to you free. And if you're able to send a contribution in any way to help us maintain these broadcasts on the air and also in support of our missionaries in this country and in Israel, it will be greatly appreciated. Just do as the Lord leads, but the manuscript itself is free of charge. You can simply request it by writing to us at REL Ministries, that's A-R-I-E-L, REL Ministries, P.O. Box 13266, San Antonio, Texas, 78213. So until next time, we bid you shalom.